This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Science Notes, a program on Otago Access Radio, brought to you by the Science News and Promotion Group at the University of Otago. Join me, Dave McMorran, as I chat with graduate science students. We'll find out about their research, why they do science at all, and what music they enjoy. Science Notes, Thursdays from 6:30 till 7 p.m. only on Otago Access Radio. Well, good evening and welcome to Science Notes again for another week. My name's Dave McMorran and this week our guest is Efe Çelik. Did I get that right?
Yeah. You did perfectly. No, I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for coming along on a surprisingly sunny Dunedin day.
Yeah.
Very nice. Efe is doing a master's in neuroscience.
Correct.
At Otago University. And so we're going to talk a bit about tonight about what he's been up to. I got to hear him talk a little bit about it at the 3-minute thesis competition recently.
Yeah.
So we'll have more than 3 minutes to hear about it this time. But we'll start, as we do, with a bit of music that he's brought along. And so the first track is?
The first track is Say Something by Justin Timberlake featuring Chris Stapleton. It's a track I listened to starting first year in uni where I would kind of listen to it right before exams or right before a competition to get myself in the right mood, and I think this is the perfect time to listen to it now as well.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, best way to say something is to say nothing.
You're listening to Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM, where this week we are talking with Efe Chalik, who is doing a Master's in Neuroscience at Otago University. So before we get into that, how is it that you've ended up doing postgrad at Otago?
Oh, yeah, very interesting question. I actually wanted to come to Otago to study medicine. That's why I did.
As people do.
As people do. I started with health sciences first year, and I didn't get in. Thankfully, I didn't get in because I'm a lot happier now. I've got a lot of friends who are on medicine, and that wouldn't be my lifestyle. But yeah, so after first year, I kind of thought about the different pathways I could have done. I was even considering chemistry.
Yep.
And I decided not to because I'm a bit lazy when it comes to lab work.
Mm.
So I decided on neuroscience because it incorporated a lot of things. And yeah, it's always, I guess postgrad study has always been an option for me, where my dad also, back in Turkey, did his master's, was also studying for his PhD. But hearing feedback from my parents, they said that my personality or the way I do things is quite suited for a postgrad or even an academic. So I thought this was very much just another step
yep.
of the way. So ever since second year, it's just been the way it was going to be, I think.
Yeah.
But in terms of my project, I had no idea what I was going to do. But at the end of second year, I did a summer studentship with one of my co-supervisors right now. And he could see that I was really into my swimming as well. So he suggested that I combine swimming and neuroscience for a master's, something that I can enjoy.
Yep.
At the end of the day, master's is just getting used to what you do for the rest of your academic career. It's
yeah.
not the
yeah.
be all and all.
Yeah, yep. It's the learnings, that's as the we one. Would say these days.
yeah. It's
So as you've alluded to, you're a swimmer.
Yes.
And so you've managed to find a way to combine that with your research. And your research is in mental fatigue.
That is correct, yes.
So what is mental fatigue?
I mean,
I suppose we all kind of think we know, but for someone who's studying it, what
yes.
is mental fatigue?
It is, I've got the definition in my brain. Let me see if I can recite it. It's a psychobiological experience where, oh no, I don't have it.
It's on your notes you just gave me.
All right, let's see. Mental fatigue is a psychobiological state caused by prolonged and or intense periods of cognitive exertion and is characterized by changes in behavioral, cognitive, and or physiological responses. But basically from that, we can say that mental fatigue is basically where you kind of feel drowsy. You feel those little things happening in your head. It's quite similar to being sleepy.
Yep.
But it actually doesn't have any changes, like physiological changes, such as a change in heart rate,
right.
a change in these blood flow things, but it's very much perceptual.
So it's quite different to just physical fatigue.
Yes, very much so.
So in a swimming sense, then physical fatigue, as I well remember, you it's 4 or 5 Ks and you're just stuffed.
Oh yeah.
But this is a different thing.
This is a very much, it's completely different thing. It's completely mental, but it affects the physical because it's just, you know,
yeah.
it's like a circle. But so with physical fatigue, you've got metabolites that are being created from obviously exercising. But with mental fatigue, it's the reason why we think that it affects swimming or aerobic sports is because there is a important factor in sports. It's called executive control or the cognitive side of things. So I might be going on a sidetrack here, but with swimming, there's 4 very important factors that play into your performance. There's the physical side of things, there's the mental or the cognitive side of things, there is the technique side of things,
yep.
and there's the tactical side of things as well. And because mental fatigue affects the cognitive side of things, we think it affects your swimming performance.
But right.
Once again, this is a very new area, so we don't fully know why or how.
One thing I wonder, just thinking about this before, was, I mean, again, because I was a swimmer, not nearly as good as you, I guess. I'm guessing, but a long time ago. And one thing I wondered was, is this more of an issue when you're racing or when you're training?
It can be both.
Because I kind of wonder, in when you're racing, because you said about the tactical thing,
yep.
If you're going in, you kind of have an idea, this is what I'm doing here, this yep. is what I'm doing here. This is what, so yep. that's all very focused in your yes. brain. Whereas when you're training, you're just plowing up and down and up and down and up and down
that
for hours.
That can be tactical too, though.
True. Well, not for me, but for serious.
You, yes. Yeah. But if you're racing anyone else in your training as well, that,
sure.
That, if we're speaking about tactical, but it affects both.
Right.
Where, for example, there's this thing called rate of perceived exertion, or RPE, and mental fatigue is thought to increase the feeling that you get, or increase the RPE for a certain speed. So, for example, if you swam 50-meter freestyle in 29 seconds, when you're mentally fatigued, you perceive that exertion to be a 9 out of 10 compared to if you are not mentally fatigued,
right.
you perceive that to be 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about perception in the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're doing a master's.
Yep.
Presumably there's experiments going on.
Yes.
So what are the experiments that you're doing with this?
Yes. So right now, this morning I had two people come in. Shout out Alex and Harriet for coming in this morning. So what I do as experiments is I obviously use competitive swimmers. But the design is actually a little bit complex. But we're doing a crossover randomized control trial. So each person does each condition, where one condition is baseline, where we just let them sit there and not do anything and then see how they swim. The second one is they watch a documentary. The third one is where we mentally fatigue them using a Stroop task. And the fourth one is a social media condition where I have used a hate speech data set online and just expose them to negative emotional valence,
right.
tweets, things like that. But we're using the Flume right now.
So, right. So, yes, I wondered that. So this yes. is the sort of stationary, the pool that you
yes.
have a current in,
it's
so you
like
can swim without going anywhere.
It's kind of like a treadmill.
Where yeah, exactly. A treadmill
where it
for swimming.
Water.
Cool.
But, yeah, so the really cool thing about the Flume is that we can see how long they can hold that consistent speed in each condition.
Right.
That's how we measure the performance compared to, say, if it was a real race, they try to swim a 200 freestyle as fast as possible, but there would be fluctuations in their speed.
Yeah.
But this one is just maintaining speed for as long as you can and see how long you can do that for, depending on each condition.
And so given that you got four conditions, do you have them in four times?
We actually have them five times.
Five times,
the first
right.
one is for familiarization.
Right,
so that's
okay.
one where they get used to the Flume. They swim in the Flume at different speeds. But from those recordings, I get their stroke rate and kind of use that to make sure that they swim the same way or try to swim the same way in each condition where
yeah.
From the stroke rate from the familiarization session I use a underwater metronome and put that into their cap so they actually maintain that stroke rate as well.
Right.
And yeah, see how that changes across different conditions.
So you're doing this with a bunch of people?
Yes, 20.
20.
20 competitive swimmers. And technically, I could get away with 18 after doing statistical
yeah.
power calculations. Mm-hmm. But since we have four groups, 18 is not really divisible by four. So we ended up going for 20.
And so I think you said just before we started that you're almost in the position to start analyzing the data now.
Yes and no. There are some people that are in different stages of the experiment.
Right.
So I could analyze them, but technically not because I haven't finished, and not everyone's finished
okay.
their data collection.
Do you have a sense of what the data's telling that you have so far is telling you?
I've tried not to look, to blind myself. or maybe that I'm using that as an excuse because I'm lazy with the results. But I haven't looked at the swimming data. I've looked at the mental fatigue values.
Right.
So how each condition has affected them mentally.
So how are you measuring that?
We're using a bispectral index monitor, which is kind of like a processed EEG monitor. It's used in hospitals as like a for patients under anesthesia, but it kind of gives us like a consciousness score. It's calculated, but we're trying to get alpha and theta waves.
Okay, so it's electrodes on the head type
electrodes
thing.
Electrodes on the head, but also we use this thing called a visual analog scale. So we basically say one paper where we ask them, how mentally fatigued do you feel right now? 0 being not at all, 100 being the most mentally fatigued you feel. It's 100 millimeters long, so they just put a vertical line across the across that, and I measure how long that
right.
is. And that's the same with motivation as well. So looking at those two, it's been good because I can tell that the mental fatigue condition is working, and the other two, well, the other conditions are also doing what they're supposed to do as well.
Cool.
So it's been good.
One of the things you talk about in the notes that you gave me is that these sorts of studies have been done before, but there's a flaw in the way that they've been
yes.
done because of bias.
Yes.
Maybe you quickly talk about what that is and how you're trying to get around it.
Yeah. So this is actually really recent. The first study was done in 2018. The last three were done in the previous 12 months, actually.
Right.
There's only 6 studies, but it's such a niche but also new topic that a systematic review needed to be done to see what everyone else was doing wrong. So first one being the periodization. We don't know how many people are in each, I guess, sequence, because there's with different conditions, you can be in different sequences. So if for mine with 4 conditions, there's actually a total of 24 possible sequences that you could be
in terms of which of the
exactly.
stimuli or what if you want to
exactly.
call it, you get, they get in which order
exactly
right. yep
and we don't know from those previous studies, so that's a big thing, because with the order that you do each thing in is actually important in the data as well, where some people might be better doing the mental fatigue condition first, and then they think, oh yes, I got everything out of, I got the hard one out of the way.
Yeah.
Let me try hard
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Another thing is some studies, for example, they haven't blinded their participants or experimenters either, which shouldn't be a massive problem considering the situation, but the way they've measured their outcomes is not very good, where they've hand-timed things as well. So that can also play a bit of
right.
bias into how, I guess, data is collected, where if the experimenter knows that this person is mentally fatigued, they might stop the timer later
yep.
than
yep.
like these subconscious things that we might not be able to control. These are off the top of my head right now, but I'm sure there's more. For example, there was one study which said they used elite swimmers in this population, but looking at the data set, it was only male. And looking at the data set, I don't consider myself an elite swimmer, but I know that I was a lot better than those data sets, so I don't
yeah.
quite agree with
yeah.
That population sample. And another thing is, with the population sample, for example, it's not very consistent, where some people use, oh, you need to be swimming this many times a week or this many Ks a week. But the most objective way to measure how competitive a swimmer is by FINA points, or how close you are to the world record at a certain event.
Yeah.
So with those previous studies, we decided that, you know, we should actually analyze these and try
right.
to come up with
yeah.
the right protocol to answer this question.
Yeah. So thinking through how best to do the study is almost as important as the study itself.
I would say even more important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing after thinking about it, doing becomes the easy part.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
And yeah, we in Dunedin or in Otago, we're really lucky to have a flume.
Yeah.
And we thought, why not make the most of it?
Yeah. I must admit, I find it fascinating that given what a big deal competitive swimming is, I mean, in New Zealand, but certainly in Australia and the States,
yeah,
that these sorts of studies haven't been done for decades.
Yeah. But I guess mental fatigue in itself is a relatively new thing as well.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
But as a distinct thing from physical fatigue. Yeah.
And it's, even though swimming is big and I would like to think that it's a massive sport, I know that it's not very popular in like around the world where everyone watches it in the Olympics, but no one else.
Yeah, outside of that, not really. Yeah.
And I understand that there's not a lot of money in the sport either compared to other sports where they can receive funding. For example, with rugby over here, you can receive a lot of funding. With football, with basketball, and things like this. So
yeah,
I can understand why swimming hasn't been done.
Cool. Well, that's pretty much our time. Thank you very much for coming in and talking a little bit about what you've been up to. All the best for the completion of the data collecting and the crunching of numbers and stuff.
No,
the plan is to be done next year?
Yeah, so I submit my thesis in March.
Okay.
Thank you for having me. No. It's been a great experience.
You're very welcome. And I'll just remind you that you can listen to the show again next week at the same time and then at your leisure as a podcast from the Otago Access Radio website, which is www.oar.org.nz. We will go out with FA's second piece of music, which is...
It's called Alaturka Jazz, but it's basically the Turkish March by Mozart.
Right.
And that's a piece that I kind of hold to my heart because I learned to play it at a young age, and it's something that I wanted to play for a while. Anyway, it's kind of like a remix of that song where a Turkish pianist actually reorganized it, and I think might sound better than the original.
All right. Well, let's enjoy that, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Science Notes, a program on Otago Access Radio, brought to you by the Science News and Promotion Group at the University of Otago. Join me, Dave McMorrin, as I chat with graduate science students. We'll find out about their research, why they do science at all, and what music they enjoy. Science Notes, Thursdays from 6:30 till 7 p.m, only on Otago Access Radio.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.